Now, a strange thing happens at this part of the class, and it has for the nearly 30 years I've been teaching this. Some people really take to prediction and quantitative outcome variables, and they're comfortable there, and life is good, and then we switch over to this silly shit. Other people have done just fine in regression, because they tend to think about quantitative variables, but they think a lot about kinds of people or categories of people or types of people. And when we shift over to this, you can almost hear this sigh of relief, because now this makes sense. And I can't predict which group you're going to be in. Some people are more comfortable with prediction, other people are more comfortable with classification. I will tell you, though, that if you're able to move back and forth between the two, it's worthwhile. There's a hell of a lot of statistical problems that I have solved by shifting models. When people say, well, we sort of have this rough continuum, we've got people who are lower on this and people that are higher on this and these people in the middle. Whenever they start doing this about people in the middle, there's a distinct possibility that what you have is three kinds, not three levels, or four kinds, or five kinds. Or when you hear people saying, well, you know, they sort of line up on a continuum, and we're going to call that continuum the criterion variable. Well, what are the groups that sort of line up? Because those groups may be carrying the important information. Research that I did with Will Spaulding several years ago was on what's known as schizotypics. I can't remember all the fancy words, but the bottom line was, are these junior schizophrenics or are they a qualitatively different thing? Do we have normal people, schizotypics, and schizophrenics all line up, or are schizotypics qualitatively different from each other? Well, if you come up with a, what is it, schizo what? You, the schizo what continuum, the schizo what category of people? No, there's some catch-all category of everybody who's kind of like that no matter how. Yes, say that louder. Schizophrenia spectrum disorder is a fairly new idea because it used to be just on a continuum between normals to schizophrenics. Then they started finding these kinds. And then based in part on some research that Spaulding did, decide that those really were kinds, not amounts. And so if you were lining everything up and doing prediction, you simply wouldn't discover how these folks differ from each other because they're different kinds. So even when people are sometimes working with a quantitative outcome variable, you can tuck that right into a regression or an ANOVA, stop and ask whether we might better capture that construct with kinds and shift over to classification. So what I want to do is draw the distinction between prediction and classification. Then I want to take you back through ANOVA, and we're going to use ANOVA backwards to understand how classification works and then sort of take a look at how LDF is going to work for us. Linear discriminant function. Prediction is using a person's scores on one or more variables to make a best guess of that person's score on another variable, the value of which isn't known. Sticking a bunch of variable values into multiple regression, get a Y prime. That's what prediction is all about. You can use fancier words than best guess. You can call it an estimate, you can call it approximation, you can call it a prediction. Let's be honest, we know how good our data are. Classification is very similar. Using a person's scores on one or more variables to make a best guess of the category to which that person belongs when the category type isn't known. The difference is a language convention. If the unknown variable is quantitative, we call it prediction. If the unknown variable is qualitative, we call it classification. How does classification work? Let's start with ANOVA. In its usual form, there are two qualitatively different IV groups that might be naturally occurring, or they may have been created by manipulation. We've got a quantitative DV. We've got the null hypothesis that the means of the two groups are the same. Rejecting the null tells us there's a relationship between the grouping and the DV, and that groups represent populations with different means on the DV. Knowing what group a person is in allows us to guess their DV score, which is the mean of that group. If the groups aren't different, then we take the grand mean as the guess for everybody. If the groups are different, if you're in this group, I guess your mean as the mean of that group. If you're in the other group, I guess your score as the mean of that group. Make sense? If the groups aren't separated, knowing what group you're in doesn't help me. All right, what we're going to do is take a look at how this works. Remember that F is the variation between groups or the variation within groups, which is basically the size of the mean difference over the variation within groups. And so we want to look and see which of these will produce a bigger F. Notice we've got a mean difference of 30 versus 50 and a mean difference of 30 versus 50. So the difference between these two data sets is not the numerator. The mean difference is the same size. You with me? However, notice that data set 1 has standard deviations of 5. Data set 2 has standard deviations of 15. So data set 1 is going to have a much smaller variation within group and therefore have a much larger F. Now let me show you the same thing graphically. Data set 1, means of 30 and 50, standard deviation of 15. Second one, same means, very different standard deviation. Which classification would you rather be trying to make? If I gave you a person's score, would you rather try to classify whether they're green or yellow in data set 1 or in data set 2? Why? There's less overlap. Overlap is the bane of classification. The more the groups overlap, the more people fall into this fuzzy middle. We don't really know where they belong. We got to be all the way up here before we're certain the person is in the yellow group. We got to be all the way down here before we're certain in the green group. Here, we have almost complete certainty. Is it because of the mean difference? No. It's because of the mean difference relative to the variation within each group. And this is why an F-test is such a reasonable thing to do when you're doing classification. Because the more overlap, the smaller the F, the shittier the classification. The smaller the F, the more overlap, the poorer the classification. All the same idea. One's a statistic, one's an overlap, one's a result. Small F, lots of overlap, bad classification.